The Golden State Warriors are the 2015 NBA champions. Their first title in 40 years.
For the first time since 1954, the Giants are world champions.
And you tell them one thing, just win, baby.
I'd say it's today's golden days.
Just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, just like the tombs in Egypt, soon as you see it, you'll be speechless. Golden, no job when we slide through, we gon' provide you with something to ride to. Golden, golden, golden.
Bay's Golden Days, I'm Marcus Boucher, and welcome back to another NFL Week 4 podcast. I know what you're thinking. He already did the Raiders podcast this week. But no, 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 my friends. The kid is back with the return of Alan Flores to bring you an NFL Straight Cash podcast. Yes, we're going to break down the entire Week 4 of the NFL season, looking at the point spread game by game, back with my man Alan Flores. Welcome back, Al, the notorious Bay Area hater. Going to get into this Raider game, this Niner game. Al, what's been going on to start the NFL season? What has caught your eye? And what's going on leading into the Straight Cash podcast?
What is up, people? It is good to be back in this podcast, Straight Cash podcast. And you know what? He said it right, the biggest Bay Area hater. But let me clear that up a little bit. I'm just a Bay Area fan hater. I got no problem with, you know, a couple teams, you know, but either way, it's just the bandwagons I don't like. Either way, the question you asked me about the Bay Area teams, well, I got to say, Niners are going to have a tough time. Oakland is having a tough time, but they'll get over it. They'll get through it. But Niners, don't even get me started yet.
Yeah, you don't want to get started with the Niners right now. Obviously, the news of Jimmy Garoppolo done for the season, torn ACL. Richard Sherman's also hurt. It looks like the 49ers are falling apart. Can't talk too much about what's going on in the East Bay, though. The Raiders are an 0-3 start. Like I said on our podcast, we're 3-0 to start the year, but only 3-0 in the first half. Can't even end the whole game. So let's go ahead, because this is the Bay's Golden Days. Why not start off with the two Bay Area teams? If you want my full insight for the Raiders-Brown games, go ahead and check out my Raiders recap podcast from last week, the Week 3 review and the Week 4 preview. I broke down the entire game against the Browns, Baker Mayfield, and Myles Garrett. You know that I'm taking the Raiders by the 2.5 points at home to get their first victory of the season. Al, what are your thoughts about your boy Baker Mayfield making his first NFL career start in O.co Coliseum?
Man, you know, it felt really good. If anyone knows about Marcus's Dynasty League commissioner status, he knows that I drafted Baker Mayfield as my last pick for this year's draft. Now, when I see it from Baker, he threw the ball pretty good. He threw it pretty good. However, he got kind of lucky on a couple. I seen a couple where he just passed it right in the thread, but if that defensive player, I don't know who it was exactly, he would have got his hand on the ball. I think 3 times that ball would have been swatted down. However, he can catch the ball, something Tom Brady couldn't do.
Baker does it all, and I'm telling you, he looked better than Tyrod Taylor, that's for sure. So this Browns offense is for sure going to be an upgrade, but I'm telling you, I'm sticking with the Raiders. Al, who's your pick for the Raiders and the Browns?
I also picked the Raiders. I think they are going to be pissed and hungry for the way they've been fucking losing these games in the fourth quarter and the second half in general. And I just don't trust the Browns, you know. For one, they're in our division, so of course I want them to lose. But this is business. This isn't anything about pleasure as far as division. So I am going to take the Raiders, and I hope for once this season they can make us some money.
Yes, the Raiders should be able to cover the spread, a 2.5-point spread. The over-under in this game is set at 45. We've seen the Raiders defense. We've seen the Brown defense. I think this might be a high-scoring game. Baker Mayfield, I gave you the whole entire breakdown so you know the matchups for what's going on for my Raiders recap podcast. But I'm telling you, the Browns are as hot as they've been the last 2 years. They got their first victory of the season, but the Raiders will get their first victory of the season this Sunday against the Cleveland Browns. And let's go move on across the Bay Area. The 49ers are going down to LA to take on the Los Angeles Chargers. The Chargers are favored by 10.5 points. That's a big spread, but we know why. Because Jimmy Garoppolo is not playing. He's done. We're going to get CJ beat hard. Yes, the Beathard man is coming in. Goodwin's injured. Garcon's banged up. Richard Sherman's banged up. up. Like I said, I don't think the Niners have any chance in this game. Shanahan is a great coach. He's always known for scheming and getting players open. When it seems like the 49ers don't got any talent on the roster. Here, I think they might be able to put up some points against the Chargers. But at the end of the day, I think Phillip Rivers is going to run away with this game. I like the Chargers to win. This is one of my guaranteed money line locks of the week. Take the Chargers with the money line. But if you're feeling risky, take the 10.5 points. And I think this is going to be a blowout for the Chargers.
Oh, yeah. I'm taking the 10.5. Even on my own bets, I'm taking 10.5. You just got to understand, not only did they lose Jimmy G, not only did they lose Richard Sherman, but we got to understand that this Niners run defense is still pretty trash. And Melvin Gordon might just get two tugs with over 100 yards. That's my prediction on this game. So regardless, pick whatever the money line is. Whatever it is, pick the Chargers.
Yeah, DeForest Buckner has been playing better for the 49ers, but that's one man. He cannot stop this high-powered Chargers offense. They've been looking good. Got slowed down a little bit by the Rams last week, but I do expect the Chargers to bounce back. And then let's go ahead and get into the rest of this Sunday slate after coming to Bay Area right here on the Straight Cash Podcast. My man Randy Moss, you know he's going to bring us in and out of these intros.
Straight Cash, homie.
That's right, the Straight Cash Podcast. Let's go ahead and get the rest of this Sunday slate. Let's start off with the Miami Dolphins taking on the New England Patriots. And this is a 3-0 Miami Dolphins team. First place in the AFC East, Al, can you believe it? Taking on Tommy Brady. Tom Brady coming off a big Monday night loss to ex-defensive coordinator Matt Patricia and the Detroit Lions, 26-10. The Patriots looking to bounce back. They are favored by 7 points in this game. I think they get the job done in a division battle. I wasn't too impressed with the Dolphins' performance. You guys heard me on the podcast earlier this week. I like the Patriots to bounce back with the first week of Josh Gordon to cover the spread and win this game by 7 points.
Just throw the ball to Josh Gordon. Flash Gordon. Shout out to my boy. Look, the Patriots lost to Detroit. Detroit was 0-2. That is a huge loss for them. Only because you lost to an 0-2 team and you are the Patriots. So I am definitely taking the Patriots, considering the fact that Miami should have lost that goddamn game last week. So I will take the Patriots. They're going to be hungry. Josh Gordon is going to be hungry. He's going to have a way better quarterback, even though I don't like this fucking guy. He's going to have a way better quarterback, and he will have a touchdown is my prediction.
Yeah, Josh Gordon, I think he's going to have a big game. The coaches came out and said he's all right, learned the playbook. He's going to get in there. He's going to get some action, and I think this might be a high-scoring game for the Patriots, but not so much for the Dolphins. Even though the Dolphins are 3-0 to start the year, they're 3-0 against the spread. The over-under is 48 points. This is a game that I see the Patriots perhaps winning the game 28-14. Doesn't quite cover that 48-point spread, but we'll see what happens. Let's go ahead and move on to our next game now. We got the Houston Texans taking on the Indianapolis Colts. The Colts lost last week in a close game to Carson Wentz and the Eagles 20-16, while the Texans lost again, surprisingly, to Eli Manning and the Giants 27-22. The Texans are +1.5 on the road. We got some road dogs going in, and I got them taken out. Andrew Luck and the Colts. Andrew Luck has looked pretty decent in his return this year from his injury, has looked a lot better than a lot of people expected, but this offensive line, I know they drafted Quentin Nelson out of Notre Dame. That's only one man. He can't block both Jadeveon Clowney and J.J. Watt at the same time. J.J. is healthy. J.J. is back, and I think they're going to be on Andrew Luck's back the entire game. I got the Texans going in and upsetting the Colts +1.5 points this weekend.
Yeah, you can't trust the Colts. I mean, I'm sorry. That they're just like the Seattle Seahawks as far as line. You know, they don't protect Luck at all. It's sad to see Luck not get any protection for as good of a high caliber quarterback he is. But I would not be surprised if anyone took the Colts, because you still can't sleep on Andrew Luck. Him and T.Y. Hilton are still going to do something against this Houston Texans defense, because this defense has been kind of questionable this season so far.
Not up to expectations, that's for sure, and you can never count on Andrew Luck. It seems like he's going to come back every game. Hell, we remember what he did to the Chiefs in the playoffs when he came back and absolutely blitzed the Chiefs at home. Andrew Luck is one of the top young quarterbacks in this league still. He is 2-1 against the spread this year, but I don't think he gets the job done. I think the Texans win, get their first win, cover against the spread for the first time this year. Hey, you got to turn around sometime, some way. I think Deshaun does it this Sunday against the Colts. But let's go ahead and move on to the next game. We got the Cincinnati Bengals taking on the Atlanta Falcons. The Falcons are favored by 5.5 points after losing a thriller last week to the Saints. You want to talk about a back and forth game? The Saints won 43-37. Drew Brees and Matt Ryan, back and forth, overtime game. It was just whoever had the ball last was going to win. Drew Brees got the ball first and also last because he ended the game in overtime with a huge touchdown drive. I think this is going to be a big high scoring game. The over under is set at 51. Hell, we got the Saints who scored 43. We got the Bengals who put up 21 last week. We saw what they did to the Ravens early in the year when I put up, I believe, about 35 points. The Bengals might be getting Joe Mixon back this week. He's been practice running. They said he's been cutting left and right. We don't know if Mixon's going to be back, but I like the Falcons on the over, and I like the Falcons against the Bengals this week by 5.5 points.
I love it too. I honestly do. I mean, I'm not just saying that because they are also in the Steelers division. I'm saying that because of one man so far last week, Calvin Ridley. That guy is probably going to dog the Cincinnati secondary. It's going to look disgusting, okay? Matt Ryan has been coming around. He's been shooting it to Julio Jones as well. But you also got to not count out that gingerbread head, Andy Dalton. This guy will come out of nowhere, throw three TDs to AJ Green, and then probably throw another one to fucking Boyd like he did. And it's just, you can't really count on the Falcons fully, but I am taking the Falcons.
Yeah, that's why I think it's going to be a high-scoring game. AJ Green is getting healthy. He should be back this game. And like you said, Tyler Boyd, the second-year standout, he has been balling out this year for the Bengals. They might get Joe Mixon back. I think this will be a, for sure, high-scoring game. I got Atlanta winning this game 35-28, and Atlanta is 6-1 against the spread since the start of 2016 when coming off a game which had allowed 30 or more points. So I expect the Falcons to be high-scoring, especially with no Deion Jones, no Keanu Neal. They're losing all their young studs on that defense side of the ball. I am for sure taking the over in this game. Even though it's at 51, I think this is going to be high scoring, and I like the Falcons to get the job done. But let's go ahead and talk about the highest scoring team from last week that just said, fook the spread. I don't care about your plus 16 points. I'm talking about the Buffalo Bills, who absolutely put it on the Vikings last week, 27-6. They'll be going into Lambeau Field to take on the Green Bay Packers this weekend. The Packers lost last week to the Redskins 31-17. This is a confusing game to pick because I guarantee the Buffalo Bills knocked out half of America in their suicide polls last week and their survivor polls that they tried to pick one team to just win and go on. I would have told you last week to just take the Vikings in the money line. That's where I'm kind of at this week with the Packers also. These 10 points kind of scare me. All these double-digit spreads in any of these games are kind of scary. The money line, it's there. Like the Chargers going against the Niners. You've seen the first 3 weeks of the season. Anything can happen. I've talked about it on the Raiders podcast. Any given Sunday, any team can win. The Packers are favored by 10 points. I definitely think they win. They bounce back. Aaron Rodgers has a big game. Hell, we'll see if Clay Matthews can even hit the quarterback this week. He's playing Josh Allen. No, we remember with Cam Newton, you got to be an old veteran quarterback to get the penalty. So we'll see what happens if Clay Matthews gets a call or not. But I definitely got the Packers winning. I think they blow out the Bills. I don't think the Bills are for real. I've said it on my other podcast. I think the Bills are probably the worst team in the NFL. Josh Allen has been playing better. LeSean McCoy might be back this weekend, but I got the Packers winning big. I'm not afraid to take the 10 points. Al, what are your thoughts? So the Buffalo Bills have a chance at repeating the success that they had last week against a playoff team, the Minnesota Vikings.
Okay, so I have been thinking a lot about the Bills only. Now, it could be a fluke last week, for sure, but I can guarantee you I was not going to take that spread. 16.5, I was not taking that at all. I did not trust that. Now, here's what I was thinking. Buffalo Bills slaughtered the Vikings, and they did it without LeSean McCoy. Yeah. So could this be possible that without LeSean McCoy, they're a better team?
You know, he might be taking too many touches, to trying to focus too much on the offense around him. You want to say that they won't be because obviously he's probably the best offensive talent that they have on their roster. But we saw Josh Allen scrambling out the pocket looking exactly like a white Michael Vick last week.
Exactly. And it's just, you know, it's just toss-ups. It's questions. You never know. Maybe LeSean McCoy has been a disease on this team. Who knows? I'm not knocking his talent for his age. But still, it's just a thought that I thought of. And as far as the pick goes, I am not taking that money line because I just don't trust Green Bay. I see them winning, but I do not see them winning by 10.5.
Yeah, 10.5 is a lot. I like the Packers. I think Aaron Rodgers has a big game. Jimmy Graham's got to get it going with this Packers team. The Buffalo Bills put up 27 points last week. We know the Vikings have a better defense than the Packers.
Way better defense.
So this might be a game where you hit the over. It's only at 45. This might be a high-scoring game for Josh Allen and LeSean McCoy. I can't believe I'm saying those words, but after what we saw last week, who knows what the hell is going to happen, but let's keep it moving here on the Straight Cash Podcast. We'll go with the Detroit Lions taking on the Dallas Cowboys next. We got the Cowboys favored by 3 points in this matchup. They lost last week to the Seahawks. The Detroit Lions coming off that huge Monday night victory over the Patriots, as we talked about. They came out huge on Monday night, put it to Tom Brady. The Dallas Cowboys, Dak Prescott is no Tom Brady. Dak Prescott hasn't even looked like a former shell of himself from his rookie year. I've been calling it out for the past 2 years.
Sure
Dak
have.
Dak Prescott cannot go down the field. I know, Al, you know the saying, Dak is trash.
No, Dak is whack.
Dak is
whack. Prescott. I'm telling you, people, I don't know why these Cowboy fans are just sitting here like you guys are sounding like Niner fans. You guys aren't going nowhere. Nowhere. Whack Prescott is not the fucking answer. Just get it through your heads and just stop with this whack Prescott hype, okay? Detroit, I like them this week. I really do. They came on a huge win against the Patriots. The Patriots, okay? Their defense is not that bad. So, I mean, Detroit still had some type of, you know, hype against them.
Yeah, not at all. Their defense is not playing that bad at all. Big play Darius Slay coming up and making plays, one of the best corners in the league. And you talk about their offense, Kenny Golladay coming along, Kerryon Johnson, first 100-yard rusher since, what, Reggie Bush maybe? It's been 5-6 years for the Detroit Lions.
That was a huge thing for the Lions. I saw all the fans cheering for that.
Making it seem like he's the next Barry Sanders, like no one else has ever ran for 100 yards before, and that's still splitting carries with LeGarrette Blount. But I think the Detroit Lions, Matthew Stafford getting his shit together, this offense is going to be able to do enough, and I definitely think they're going to have the mismatches against the Cowboys with no Sean Lee over the middle.
Oh, yeah.
The general
is
out, and we've seen it before. The Cowboys without Sean Lee, it's like watching Luke Kuechly when he's out playing for the Panthers. Their defense just disappears. I think the Detroit Lions are going to win. I think they cover that 3-point spread easily. The over-under is at 43. That's kind of iffy. I think the Lions are going to score some points, but are the Cowboys ever going to score some goddamn points? Dak Prescott cannot throw the ball downfield. I know Ezekiel Elliott has
where's he been?
He's been showing flashes here and there, but he's got to have a dominant game. If the Cowboys got any chance, they got to control the rock, got to control the time of possession, because that's the formula for them winning. But now it seems like with Dak, with no Jason Witten, with no Dez Bryant, he doesn't got the weapons to move the ball downfield when he needs to, and that's why I just don't think the Cowboys' offense is where it needs to be. Their defense, obviously, is not where it needs to be without Sean Lee, and I think the Detroit Lions are going to take this game +3 over the Dallas Cowboys. And let's go ahead and keep it moving on to our next game. We got the Jets taking on the Jacksonville Jaguars. The Jaguars lost a surprising game last week to the Tennessee Titans, 9-6. You want to talk about a low-scoring game? I hope you took the under on that one. The Jaguars have been struggling lately to move the ball without Leonard Fournette. He might be coming back this week, so their offense could be a lot more potent this week. I think this defense, though, they're going to lock down Sam Darnold. It's that simple. The rookie, he had his flashes on Monday Night Football against the Lions, even though he did throw a pick six to start the game. Next year, you know, he comes back, lost to the Cleveland Browns last week, and looked like he got outplayed by Baker Mayfield in the second half. I think the Jets are going to struggle against this Jaguars defense. The Jaguars are favored by 7 points. This Jets defense is underrated with Jamal Adams at safety. I think he lines up in the box, kind of shuts down the run, and forces Blake Bortles to beat him. I mean, that's the scenario for everybody. You got to force Blake Bortles to beat you when you're playing against the Jaguars. I like the Jaguars on the money line in this game. 7.5 is a little risky. If you get it down to about 6.5 in your books, maybe I'll take them by a touchdown, but I'm definitely taking the Jaguars on the money line, and I'm taking the under on this game, 38 points. I think it's going to be a low-scoring game. We've seen both these teams not put up too many points the whole entire year. I like the Jaguars on the money line and the under 38 points.
I would take the spread if it was at 5, not 6.5. Like, you can't trust Jacksonville's offense. I don't know why. Bortles just can't get it done, honestly, you know. And let's not knock Tennessee's defense. Their defense is still pretty good, you know. I'll give them that. But, I mean, come on. You can't put up any type of points? You screwed us last week. I didn't like that. And that was at, what, minus 10? So, no, with this minus 7.5, I would just take the money line or take it straight up. Just do not do the 7.5, people, please. Do not do it unless, for some miraculous reason, it's going to go all the way down to 5.
Yeah, take it if it drops down, if you can get it. But I'm saying stick with the money line and take the under on this game. 38 points might look low, but this is going to be another low-scoring game. The Jaguars' defense should put the clamps on them. This might be a 10-0 shutout. Hell, we don't know what's going to happen, but I like the Jaguars' defense to come up and get them the win. Let's keep it moving now to a team that hasn't been really playing any defense at all and has been doing it all on the offense side of the ball. That's the Tampa Bay Buccaneers. You want to talk about a team that has been just ridiculous against the spread, covering points, doing anything possible to get wins until they ran into the Pittsburgh Steelers on Monday night last week.
Let's go.
They ended up losing 30-27. They will be now taking on the Chicago Bears. In Chicago, the Bears are favored by 3 points in this game, and this is probably going to be one of my closest games of the week because we still don't know if the Buccaneers are for real. We saw a quarter of Fitzmagic last week, little comeback in the second half, but there was also a quarter where he threw, what, 2-3 picks against the Steelers, and he looked absolutely terrible, and he looked like the old Fitzpatrick. I mean, we just don't know what we're going to get from the Tampa Bay Buccaneers team. I think it'll be a close game. I like the Bears to win it, but they could just win by 3, and then it's a push. So you might be better off taking the Bears on the money line, or if you want to take the Buccaneers plus 3, so you got the padding for a push. I just don't know where to go. Alan, what are your thoughts on this game?
You know, I like Chicago. I'm just going to say it straight up. I like Chicago. You know, let's just put it this way. You know, yeah, we got the win, but our secondary is very questionable, you know, and it's just, you never know. However, Chicago's defense, now that's a different story. Not even about the secondary. But unfortunately, I'm sorry to say this, Marcus, Khalil Mack has been killing it every game.
You don't got to tell me twice.
I'm sorry. Now, the why I bring up last week is because, and how bad our defense got 3 picks and like 2 or 3 sacks. I forgot how many sacks. And our defense ain't even that good. So just imagine what Chicago's defense will do with Khalil Mack. And I also like Trubisky. I like Trubisky. Him and Allen Robinson are a good combination so far. They got something going. Gabriel, he's just going in the middle every time as a slot receiver, catching drag routes or just throwing deep. That's all he's good for.
Yeah.
He's got them quick legs. But Tampa Bay, like you said, we don't know how real they are. Mike Evans has been killing it. I like him and Fitzmagic. Jamison who?
Who is Jameis?
Jamison who?
All I know is some criminal who steals crab legs.
All I know is some guy who's just sitting there saying, fuck her right in the pussy. That's the only guy I know.
Uh-oh, Jameis, where you at now?
So, you know, I like Chicago. I like them by 3. I will take Chicago at Chicago.
Hey, you might have just talked me into it. I was torn there. I think the Bears might win by a field goal, but it could come down to a Khalil Mack situation where he's getting a sack at the end of the game, like you said. Might have to get Jordan Howard to pound the ball, run out the clock at the end of the game. I think the Bears do win it. I like them on the money line because I said this might be a field goal decisive game. But like Alan said, I like the Bears and Khalil Mack. That's pretty much the facts. Let's go ahead and keep it moving now to the Philadelphia Eagles taking on the Tennessee Titans. The Philly Eagles are 2-1 this year after beating the Colts 20-16. I talked about the game a little bit earlier. They held off Andrew Luck late, had a big sack. This defense has been holding them in the games, and then you want to talk about the return of Carson Wentz. He looked decent last week, got hit probably more than Eagles fans would like. I don't know what's going on with this offensive line, but I saw Carson Wentz go down hard a few times, and they almost lost this game to the Colts, but they are favored by 3.5 on the road against Marcus Mariota and these Tennessee Titans. I talked about Mariota. They lost to the Jaguars 9-6. He wasn't even supposed to start the game, then came in, didn't look good at all. We still don't know if he's 100% healthy. He should be playing this week, but the Eagles defense, I think, will put the clamps down on the Tennessee Titans. One person on the Titans I've just been completely disappointed with this year is Derrick Henry. I thought he was going to have a much bigger year without DeMarco Murray. He needs to step up. They need to run the ball and control the time of possession because that's how the Eagles play. They control the rock and they play great defense. I think the Eagles get the job done on the road by 3.5 points this week over the Tennessee Titans. Mariota and the Titans haven't shown me anything this year, and I don't think they do this Sunday.
Yeah, I'm definitely taking the Eagles on this, and I can't lie. I didn't really watch much of Carson Wentz last week. I was too busy watching all the other teams I picked. But you got to understand, it's, you know, Wentz just came back. It's his first week back. He's going to get better and definitely going to take the Eagles because Tennessee couldn't even do shit to the Jaguars. He couldn't score against the Jaguars. Of course, they're not going to score against the Jaguars. And they stopped Bortles, but can they stop the Eagles' high-caliber offense? You got Carson Wentz, who's going to be back again. Nelson Aguilar. Is Alshon Jeffery coming back?
Alshon Jeffery is back at practice. He's back practicing.
Okay, then
that's
a good, that's a good sign. And if he comes back, they might just actually have 2 TDs on a deep ball, you know, one to Aguilar and one to Alshon Jeffery. And I hope Ajayi comes back too, because if he comes back, then that's just going to give them a whole lot of power options.
Yeah, that's the thing. We're talking about an Eagles team that won the Super Bowl last year with their backup quarterback, and now they're getting a potential top 5 candidate for the MVP candidates last year at least coming back. and now they're getting their number one wide receiver potentially back. They're getting weapons back slowly, slowly, pieces by pieces. There's even trade rumors that they might be in the hunt for Le'Veon Bell.
Yeah, I heard about that.
Yeah, we don't got to get into this trade rumors on his podcast because Alan's a Steeler fan, obviously.
Oh, no, I'm not. It's not about that, but we're not
going to. We'll go ahead and keep going now because at the end of the day, we both got the Eagles taking on the Titans. We'll move on now to the Seahawks taking on the Cardinals in an NFC West division matchup. The Seahawks are favored by 3 points on the road. They beat the Cowboys last week 24-13, while the Cardinals lost to the Bears 16-14. The Cardinals, they might be up in that category with the Buffalo Bills as one of the worst teams in the NFL. I look for them to have a top five draft pick this year. But you never know with these division rivalries in general. It seems like division games are always closer. Alan, you know how the Browns play the Steelers every year.
Of course.
We saw a tie in week one. What the hell was that? But at the end of the day, I like the way that the Seahawks are moving the ball more. Russell Wilson's always running for his life in the backfield. They're getting the rookie Rashard Penny involved a little bit more. The Seahawks taking on the Cardinals. Josh Rosen getting his first start. The rookie out of UCLA. I don't know why they threw him into a game-winning drive last week. Kind of threw him into the fire. They must have saw Baker Mayfield on Thursday night and said, hey, we could put our rookie in the second half and get a win too. But no, it didn't turn out like that at all because Josh Rosen threw an interception to put the dagger in the game. I think he will have a little bit of trouble against this Seahawks defense, who it's not the same Legion of Boom. We've talked about it before. There's only three guys left from that Super Bowl defense back in the day. I mean, it's not the same Legion of Boom at all, but Earl Thomas, I think he's going to give the rookies some trouble mixing up coverages. I think he gets a pick, and I think Russell Wilson and his offense is able to do enough against the Arizona Cardinals to get the win on the road by 3 points.
Yeah, you're going to have to take Seattle. You can't trust Rosen, you know. It's not to knock him. He's just a rookie. No one, you can't put all that pressure on him. Like you said, how are you going to put pressure on a rookie in like the fourth quarter with 5 minutes left? Like, you might as well just finish with Sam Bradford. Well, that was kind of stupid, but you know, that's why I'm not running a team. But I do like Seattle. You know, on a relevant note for fantasy owners, please stay away from Seahawks running backs. I'm sorry. You know, I like Rashad Penny, but you can't trust this line. And the only way they're going to win is if Russell Wilson runs for over 100 yards and throws for over 200 yards.
Yeah, Russell Wilson's got to do it all, but that's been a story for the Seahawks the past couple of years. It seems like, what was it, last year he was like 90% of the total offense. I mean, Russell Wilson's one of the top quarterbacks in the league. He needs some more weapons. Doug Baldwin was back in practice this week. He might be coming back, but he's got two bum knees, so who knows what the hell Baldwin's going to do. Patrick Peterson versus Tyler Lockett on the outside. That'll be an interesting matchup, but I don't think there's going to be too many points scored in this game. The over-under is only set at 38. But I think this might be a low-scoring game. Josh Rosen, I think he struggles against the Seattle Seahawks defense, so I like the Seahawks, and I like the under in this matchup. Let's go ahead and move on to our next matchup now, the Saints versus the Giants. This might be a high-scoring game right here. Eli Manning, Odell Beckham, Saquon Barkley took out the Texans last week 27-12, while the Saints, we all know about the barn burner with Matt Ryan and the Falcons winning 43-37. The Saints are now 2-1 this year. The Giants are 1-2. What are they going to do? The Saints are favored by 3.5 points. I like the Saints on the road this year. It looks like no one's really going to be able to stop this offense, but is the defense going to be able to stop anybody? Marshawn Lattimore, he was defensive rookie of the year, and now he's come back and he's been getting toasted the first couple games. They've been letting up a shit ton of points. That's why I like the Falcons and the Saints on pretty much the overs for the whole entire year, because they're going to force teams to just pull out all the stops. You're going to look for Odell Beckham to have a huge game. Hell, if Evan Ingram plays for the Giants, they got to get all their weapons going. Eli Manning's got to have a big game, and this could be a high-scoring game. The over is set at 50, but I'm looking for the Saints to put up probably 35 points a game this year. So that, what, leaves 15 points for the Giants to put up? 35-17? I could see a blowout like this. I like the Saints by 3.5 points. I'll take them on the road. Drew Brees to stay hot and take out Eli Manning.
That's a tough one for me. People, that's a tough one. 50 points? Let's not get anything screwed here. We all know New Orleans can put up points. It's the Giants I don't trust.
Eli, we don't trust.
Yeah, I don't trust Eli. That's a tough one. I'll definitely take in the Saints. What was it, by 3?
Yeah.
Yeah, I will definitely take the Saints by 3. They're definitely going to win this game because Drew Brees just knows how to win.
Yeah.
Kamara knows how to run and catch the ball at the same damn time. But Eli Manning, you can't trust that guy to make it 50 points.
Yeah, you can't trust him all. Eli Manning, he's either winning Super Bowls or throwing picks to lose you the game. But the bright note is the New Orleans Saints only got one interception this whole entire season, and it was against Tyrod Taylor, who looked like he couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. Tyrod Taylor was bad this year, and the Saints defense, I know Eli is not as bad as Tyrod, but they got to force turnovers this game, but we'll see if they're able to. That's why I think this 50-point over-under is possible. I like the Saints, and I'll roll the dice. I'll take the Saints on the over. Moving on to our next matchup, another division rivalry. We got the Baltimore Ravens taking on the Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, Al, I know we're going to get a great breakdown from you here. Your Steelers are favored by 3 points after beating the Buccaneers 30-27. These games are always close. I know you know that. We've talked about it before. 3 points is kind of scary right now with Boswell. Your kicker got paid all that money, and now he can't hit a kick to save his life. These matchups go back and forth. Joe Flacco got the win over the Broncos last week, who are a decent defense. But at the end of the day, it's still this Pittsburgh offense. It's just so high-powered. I know the Ravens defense is always there. Harbaugh always schemes up a great game plan against the Steelers. But Antonio Brown, I think he's going to have a huge game. James Conner has been running like a madman ever since the Le'Veon Bell holdout. We know the Steelers and Ravens are going to go back and forth, back and forth. I like the Steelers on a money line. I might have to roll the dice and take them with the 3 points. We know this is going to be a close matchup. Alan, go ahead. Give me some insight here. From the mind of a Steeler fan, let me know what's going to happen this Sunday as the Ravens going to Pittsburgh to take on the Steelers.
Let me tell you something, Marcus. I live for moments like these.
Oh, yes, tell me.
I live for moments like these. Baltimore Ravens and Pittsburgh Steelers. Oh, this is going to be great. Well, let me tell you how I feel so far. You guys already know how I feel about my defense. Our defense is always questionable, secondary especially. And it's definitely been questionable ever since we lost the man, the myth, the legend, Ryan Shazier. Now, back to my offense. Our offense. The Pittsburgh offense. We have one hell of a high-caliber offense without that spoiled little fuckboy, Le'Veon Bell.
Uh-oh.
Don't get me wrong. Le'Veon Bell, he is one hell of a running back. But he is just asking for too much. And knowing the organization, we don't have that money. Period. We don't have that money. So why just go broke for him when we got James Conner, who has, you know, just came out of the cuts from sickness and just money hungry. He's just hungry. He's just hungry to run. He's hungry to catch. The guy is motivated. Le'Veon Bell, he's just trying to play to get paid. He doesn't care about winning. So I feel like James Conner is a way better fit for now. We'll see. You know, he's only a second-year rookie, or you know, technically.
Yeah.
But against the Ravens, you know, you're right. It's always a close game. Boswell, you're a piece of shit right now. You are a piece of shit. And that's the one thing that gets me the most. We pay a kicker, but we don't pay Le'Veon Bell. I mean, we could have offered Le'Veon Bell something, you know. I'm sure we could have offered him way more than what we did, but we didn't, and that's whatever. It's fine. Now, here's one thing I want to talk about. Juju Smith-Schuster.
Juju.
Is that man.
Uh-oh.
That boy has been going. Him and Roethlisberger are nice, and that's because everyone is double-teaming Antonio Brown, and as you can see, Antonio Brown's getting a little pissed off lately. You know, he hates losing, of course. Who doesn't hate losing? But I think it's more than that. I feel like he hasn't been looked at a while. You know, he finally got some tug. He got a tug last week, you know. But Juju Smith-Schuster has been the guy to throw to lately. And you have all my support, Juju. And the one person I like as well, Ryan Switzer. Thank you for that trade, Marcus.
Switz.
Thank you.
The
because this guy, finally, we have someone as a returner who can run the fucking ball as a returner. Like, as a returner, we need to run the ball straight to the goddamn field. And every time when Antonio Brown would get it, he would always have to go and wit his way out, going 20 yards back, trying to win everybody. Switzer just runs. He's fucking hungry as a returner. He wants playing time. Shout out to Ryan Switzer for getting his first tug against the Buccaneers. Our defense, I'm going to call it. Joe Flacco's going to throw for over 300 yards and probably two or three TDs. You know, sure, we got three picks on Fitzpatrick, but I'll call fluke on that. You know, I'm going to be real. Our secondary is not up to par, and it wasn't even up to par when we were winning the Super Bowl like 10 years ago. So, you know, don't blame me if I don't trust our secondary or our linebackers. You know, Chukwuelo, he's okay. Bostic, he's all right as well. Yeah, it's just times like this where I wish I had Troy Polamalu on our team, you know?
Yeah, because especially without Ryan Shazier this year, the Pittsburgh Steelers have looked awful over the middle. They got picked apart by Travis Kelce and the Chiefs. They're going to get picked apart this weekend. Hayden Hurst, the rookie tight end out of Baltimore, we'll see if he plays this weekend. We'll see what Joe Flacco is able to do up the middle, running Alex Collins. TJ Watt is going to have a big game for this Pittsburgh Steelers defense, and that's why I want to ask you, because obviously we know the Steelers, they seems like they live or die by the turnover. You guys aren't really stopping teams too much. It seems like they drive the ball downfield, but then a big play comes up. What do you think about the over-under in this game? Because it's 48.5 points. This is a game where it seems like almost every Pittsburgh Steelers-Raven game is either some high-scoring shootout or it's like a 21-17 close game that comes down to a field goal in the fourth quarter. This might be an interesting score. If it's something like that, it might be under. But if you think this Baltimore Ravens offense is going to go off, obviously the Pittsburgh Steelers offense is going to have to match that because they have the more high-power offense. Where do you stand on the over-under 48 points on this game?
I like it. I'll take it.
You'll take the over?
I'll take the over.
Okay.
It's always a shootout regardless. You know, last season, you've seen it when we took our trip to Reno. That was a close-ass game, but it was also high-scoring.
Yeah, uh-huh. It was in the 30s,
and so it's no matter what, it's going to be a high-scoring game. Joe Flacco is going to do his thing. You know, shout out to our boy Rick, who hates Joe Flacco, but cheers him on at the same time.
We want Lamar Jackson.
Lamar Jackson just might actually get some fucking pitch or whatever, like a little halfback pass straight to him, because they seem to love him in any position other than the goddamn quarterback. I don't get it, but, you know, that's not my team to care about, so I don't give a shit. But, yes, I do like the 48. I really do. I think that both quarterbacks are going to have a total of maybe 6 to 8 touchdowns. Huh? And I just... That's the way I see it.
Okay, Michael Crabtree making his first appearance in this rivalry. We'll see how he matches up against the young corner from the Steelers. You heard it right from the Steelers source himself. He likes the over, and he likes the Steelers by 3 points. Let's go ahead and move on now to our final game of the week. We got the Monday night game, the Kansas City Chiefs versus the Denver Broncos, back-to-back rivalry games on Sunday Night Football and Monday Night Football. The Chiefs going in undefeated, 3-0 this year, 3-0 against the spread, 3-0 on the over-under. It seems like they're the only team you could bet on this year because this offense with Patrick Mahomes has just been on fire. They've been unstoppable. They've started this whole trend of the push pass wide receiver reverse with Tyreek Hill. Now it seems like the whole entire league is running it. You've seen what Andy Reid's done with the shovel passes underneath to Travis Kelce. We've now seen that with Trey Burton and Jared Cook now getting incorporated in other offense. Andy Reid is ahead of his time with his offensive play calling ability. I've got no doubt about it that the Chiefs are going to win this game by 4.5. If you listen to my Raiders season preview podcast, I said the Chiefs are the team to beat in the AFC West. I didn't think the Broncos were impressive. I don't think they deserve to beat us. I thought they would be the last place team in this division. Their only hope is Von Miller gets in there and kills Patrick Mahomes. Like, he's literally got to kill him for a chance for the Broncos to have a chance to win this week. I think this Chiefs offense is just too high powered. This Broncos defense, they're not the same without Aqib Talib. They're no longer the no-fly zone. They've been getting picked apart left and right, and the Chiefs have won 5 consecutive games against the Broncos, and they've covered the spread 5 straight times against the Broncos. I'm taking the Chiefs by 4.5 points.
You know, we all got to agree, Andy Reid is just a fucking genius. Right. You know, he was a genius for trading Alex Smith. Otherwise, we wouldn't have never known how much of a high-power quarterback Patrick Mahomes can be. This guy is the man. I'm not going to lie. This guy can do it all. Playing against the Niners, like, Jesus Christ, he was putting balls in people's hands that I didn't think he could. And from experience, just by watching Week 2. He just torched us with Kelce, just Kelce alone. Not to mention, you got Tyreek Hill, who's just going to probably get a return probably this week.
Sammy Watkins in the mix.
Sammy
now.
Watkins has been just showing up the last couple weeks, you know, ever since he cut his dreads off.
And that's not even talking about Kareem Hunt in the backfield.
Kareem Hunt, you know what? I'll give it to him in the red zone.
Yeah, he's beginning his touchdowns in the red zone.
He's a red zone running back so far. I haven't seen him break anything like he did the beginning of the season last year. But still, that doesn't matter. You got Patrick Mahomes.
They got Tyreek Hill for the big plays.
Yeah, you got Tyreek. You put Tyreek Hill in the fucking backfield, and he'll probably go off. And it's just this Kansas City Chiefs, they have been trash when I was growing up for a while, and I think it's that time where they finally have something going.
Yeah, the AFC West has always been a bloodbath. Seems like every single year for the past 10 years, everybody's close. We've had years where teams are 8-8 getting into the playoffs just based off tiebreakers. It's always back and forth. The Broncos are a tough team to play up in Mile High. Monday Night Football, that might be an atmosphere that's a little shaky for the Chiefs. The over-under is set at 55 points in this game. That's the highest over of the week. We know how potent this Chiefs offense is, but Case Keenum, I'm not counting on him to put up 20, 30 points.
Absolutely not.
I can't take that. I think the Chiefs, with Eric Berry potentially coming back this weekend, they might have a chance to get finally some turnovers, finally a slowdown in offense, because maybe Royce Freeman and Phillip Lindsay out of the backfield get something going for this Broncos offense on Monday night, but I don't see them putting up enough points. Even if the Chiefs put up 30, I don't see the Broncos putting up 25. I might have to take an under for the most prolific offense in the league, even though they're 3-0 on the over-under this year. the highest scoring team in the league. I like them on the spread. I don't know if I could take them on the over, though.
This is hilarious to me. How is it that the fucking Broncos against the Chiefs is a 55 over, but we couldn't get that with the Chiefs? Yeah. We went well over 55
for real,
with that goddamn
crazy.
Game.
That's just how potent the Chiefs is
like,
right now.
Who does these fucking spreads? Like, Case Keenum putting up more than 21 points? It's like, it's just blasphemy to me. I can't fathom it. It's not going to happen, people. You better take the under if you're going to think about taking the total points. It's just, no.
Yeah, it's blasphemy as well to me. I don't understand it with the Broncos. Like you said, how is this a higher point total than the Steelers versus the Chiefs? That doesn't make any sense at all. But, hey, that's our picks. That's what we got. And that's the Straight Cash Podcast,
Let's
baby.
Let's go.
Let's go. Week 4 of the NFL. You know, we had to let those first 3 weeks of the season settle in a little bit because, honestly, if you're betting on the first 3 weeks of the season, you are losing a lot of money. If you're betting on the Vikings to beat the Bills last week, all these busters have been going on, a bunch of bad bets, but now we finally settle in a little bit into the season. And should we give a quick review of our week 4 picks real quick? A quick rundown?
I think we should.
Yeah, why not? To start it off, we had the Patriots over the Dolphins by 7 points. We like them to get back in that AFC East race, taking on the Texans and the Colts. We like the Texans plus 1.5 on the road. The Bengals versus the Falcons, we like the Falcons by 5.5 and take the over. The Falcons have been red hot. Look for them to beat the Bengals. The Bills versus the Packers, we like the Packers on the money line. The 10 points is shaky, but for sure take the Packers on the money line. The Lions versus the Cowboys, we like the Lions plus 3 on the road to take out Dak Prescott and Ezekiel Elliott. The Jets and the Jaguars, we like the Jaguars at home. I'll take them with the 7.5. The money line for sure. That might be a close game, but keep it on the under in that one. That's probably our under-over pick of the week. Moving on to the Buccaneers and the Bears. We ended up going with the Bears by 3 points. They got to win by more than a field goal. Khalil Mack has got to have a huge play, and we think the Bears get the job done. The Eagles versus the Titans, we like the Eagles by 3.5 points going into Tennessee to take out Marcus Mariota. The Seahawks versus the Cardinals, we like the Seahawks by 3 points to take out Josh Rosen in his first quarter. NFL start. The Browns Raiders, we told you already, the Raiders recap podcast is up. Bay's Golden Days podcast, you know where to find it. We're taking the Raiders by 2.5 points. The 49ers, we're taking them to lose this week in their first game without Jimmy Garoppolo. We'll take the Chargers with the money line lock of the week and go ahead and roll the dice with the 10.5 points. We'll take it with Phillip Rivers to put on a show against the Richard Sherman-less 49ers. The Saints versus the Giants, we like the Saints by 3.5 points. The Ravens versus the Steelers, we both got the Steelers winning by 3 points on Sunday Night Football, and the Chiefs over the Broncos Monday Night Football by 4.5 points. And those are the Straight Cash Podcast picks of the week, baby, right here on the Bay's Golden Days Network. Thank you, my dude, Alan Flores, for coming back. We're going to make this a weekly thing, putting out a new Straight Cash Podcast every Thursday, Friday night. We'll get you the money line spreads, get you the whole Sunday slate, the Monday night games, and we'll get you here every week with Randy Moss for the Straight Cash, homie. You know what it is.
People, I'm here, and I'm going to be here as long as I can. It's going to go down, and I want to say to all you Niner fans, don't weep. Don't cry. Because guess what? Y'all got it next year, right? That's all I'm going to hear. Don't worry, y'all. Next year. Yeah, that's me hating on you guys right now because I am sick of you bandwagon fucks. And I'm not going to say I was happy about his injury, but I will say he was retarded for doing what he did. He deserved that injury. It was his decision. And I'm sorry you guys got to go through that. Maybe McKinnon will be the fucking answer. That's such a lie.
There it is, folks. It took 45 minutes, but the Bay Area hater came out. The return of Alan Flores. Thank you for listening. Thank you for downloading and subscribing on iTunes and Google Play. You can check out social media at Bay's Golden Days. Check out our website at BGD Sports. I don't care at all if you follow me on social media. Do you, Alan?
No,
we don't care at all.
No,
you cannot follow us, but follow the show so you get the updates of when a new episode is coming out. I got the Raiders recap coming out every Monday or Tuesday. We got the Straight Cash Podcast coming out every Thursday, Friday. That's 2 podcasts a week for the rest of the NFL season. And I'm still hitting you with the UFC Aftermath Podcast. I just put out the UFC 228 Aftermath Podcast, UFC 228 review, and UFC 229 preview. Khabib Nurmagomedov versus Conor McGregor. We're only a week and a half awake, folks. Go ahead and listen to the podcast and listen to everything right here on the Bay's Golden Days, baby. You know what it is.
Straight Cash, homie. Sold it.
Stay gold. Point boy. Stay.